So the Mishnah begins with Sech Tzvachim, called Tzvachim, Shenizbuchu Shalom L'shman K'sherim L'shalom Olu L'vayim L'shem Chova. So Rashi points out that when it says K'sherim here, that has tremendous repercussions. Rashi says K'sherim L'zrok Domon U'lahakter Emurehem V'lechol Eshanecholim. So on the one hand, he's going to have to replace this carbon with a second carbon. And the reason for that is because it was shechted shalol l'shma. On the other hand, in these cases, which we call them shar carbonos, to the exclusion of Pesach and Chatos, maybe Osham as well, the carbon itself is kosher, but the bialim will have to replace the carbon. And Rashi says, as a result of the fact that the carbon is kosher, we're going to go ahead and number one, we'll do the Zrikas Adam. Number two, we'll be makta the Emurim, what we call the Achilas Mizbeach. And number three, we'll have Achilas, whether it's Kachim Kachim, Kachim Kalm, Achilas Kohen, Achilas Yisrael, whatever it might be. Now the implication in Rashi is that when we fast forward to Chatos and Pesach, where the carbon is posel, then we're going to have to exclude all these three. We're not going to get to Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach. We're not going to get Akhtar Sayyimurim on the Mizbeach. And we're not going to eat the Basar. And the implication of Rashi would be that not only would we not do so because the carbon is possible, meaning you might ask, well, what's Atmir, as we say in Yiddish? You know, what do we lose if we go ahead and we do the Hakrovas HaKarbon? And the answer is that we're not allowed to do this. We're enjoined from all these three, from Zrikas Adam, from Akhtar Seymurim, and from Achilas HaBasar. Now it's very interesting, the Ramban, in his commentary on Sefer HaMitzvos, he goes through exactly what lav might be involved in going ahead and doing all these avodos on a carbon that's possible. And as I emphasized before, we're not just talking about, well, you don't have to be makriv the karbon, it's not necessary, but not only that, you're not allowed to be makriv the karbon. And the Ramban, in his presentation, you'll see it here, HaMitzvah Revius, that's number Dalit, which you'll see on the right side of your page, but on the left column. And thanks to your field for photocopying this. The Rambam says that there's going to be a law in the Torah that enjoins us from shechting a karbon with the wrong kavanos. So that the Kohen, when we speak about the Kohen, let's say he was amazed, bezodon, he had a machshava poseles, then he violates a law, says the Ramban, by shechting that karbon. Now let's take a look at the Ramban. What are the cases of a machshava poselis? When, under what circumstances does the Kohen violate this law? So for example, we have almanas lechol besorom, and on that he has chutz lizmano and chutz lemkomo. He has lizrok domom, again chutz lemkomo, chutz lizmano, and then he has haktoras Ha'imurim, or Haktoras Ha'chelev, Chutz L'mkomo, Chutz L'zman. So far, what we have is an Isa Lav Da'oraisa. The Ramban is going to derive it in a minute from a Pasuk, at the beginning of Parashas Shoftim. And this Lav enjoins us, or the Kohen in this case, from having these Machshavos HaPoslos. And basically, if you wanted to sort of summarize or have a klal, a categorization of these machshavos haposlos, you could divide them into two categories. One is chutz le mimkomon, and the other is chutz le zmano. What's common to both these machshavos? they pasul the karma, right? Again, in the case of chutzus manam, that's going even beyond pasuling the karma. That's already pigul. But even in the absence of pigul, for example, in the case of chutzim koman, what we have is a psul in the karman, we don't have pigul, and we have a violation of a lav da'oraisa, and this is going to apply in chutz l'zmanam, chutzim koman, on the achiles basar, on the zrikas adam, on the haktorah sayimurim, all the above. V'husha amro yis'ale, and this is the pasuk at the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, lo tizbach l'ashem alokecha shor oseh ashayir bo mum. Now, if I stop here in the middle of the pasuk, right, again, kol paski v'lo paski moshe, we can't stop in the middle of the pasuk, but if I would do so, just for pedagogical purposes, then this lav addresses what case? What is he bringing on in his bank? What is he shechting? Shor oseh ashayir bo mum. Now, the Ramban is going to extrapolate and expand the scope of this Isur way beyond the case of Balmum. So you have a Shor, a Sen, it has a Mum in it. The Ramban says to go ahead and shech such a Karbon would be a violation of a Pasuk. It's almost outspoken. The Pasuk is explicit. Lo tizbach l'shem alkecha, Shor oseh shayir Balmum. What gives the Ramban, and for that matter the Sifra, license to expand the scope of this law? And the answer is the next three words in the pasuk. It says kol dovar ra, and the Ramban is going to understand that kol dovar ra means a machshava poselis. A machshava poselis is a dovar ra, and the Ramban says that to go ahead and implement the avodas hakarbon in such a case with a dovar ra. And explicitly in the pasuk is the case of a balmum. That's called the pasuk calls it Tovas Hashem Elkecha Hu. And now he quotes the Chazal in the Torah's Kohanim. The Chazal say Shepirsho. They explain this pasuk. Lo tizbak Hashem Elkecha Karban Asher Yibomum O Kol Dovara. What does that mean? O Kol Dovara. Vehu Ashochet. V'omer, again, underline that word V'omer, that's not for us now, but for another discussion about a machshava poseles. V'omer, and he declares, al menas lechol, or lizrok, chutz l'mkomo, ulizmano, which means, oh, chutz l'zmano, sheze dibur ra. So dovar ra means dibur ra. It's almost as if you add two letters to the word dovar, and that gives you dibur ra. Now, you know, you and I would say, because we're all students of the Chofetz Chaim's other works, we're not talking about his Likutei Halachos on Kachin, but his other works, we would, when we hear the phrase dibur ra, what does that remind us of as students of the Chofetz Chaim? Lashon Hara, right? Or something of the sort, you know, Lashon Hara, Rechilu, Sonas Dvarim, you know, that's a dibur ra. But here in this context of Kachin, because the Torah is talking about lo tizbach l'Hashem alokecha, so we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Here, dovar ra means something totally different. It means dibur ra in the sense of a declaration that's antithetical to the kashrus of the karbon. You bring a zebach, and you're having a machshava of a dibur ra, and you're declaring that, you know, you're going to eat this basar chutz l'zman. You're going to be maktir the imurim. Chutz l'zmano, or chutz l'mkomo, whatever the case may be. And the Ramban has that all under this violation of lo tizbach. The Ramban is going to continue here and say that Machshava Poselis applies not just during Shechita, but also during the other avodos. For example, during Kabbalah Sadam, and Olacha Sadam, and Zrika Sadam. And all those cases, if the Kohen had the wrong machshava, which he calls a dibur ra of chutz l'zman of chutz l'mkomo, then in addition to pasling the karbon, the very avoda itself is a violation of a lav d'oraisa, and it all comes under this lav of lo tizbach. So if we take this Ramban, put it on the side for just a moment, get back to our Rashi. Rashi says that in the cases of shar kodshim, not chatos and pesach, the karbon, even in shalol lishma, remains a karbon kosher, and now we can go ahead and we can be zarek the dam. And for that matter, we could be makta the emurim, we could eat the basar, all this because the carbon is kosher. Had it been possible, then to go ahead and be zorik the dam would be, perhaps, if we can be mashlim Rashi with this Ramban, a violation of the pasuk the lav doraisa lo tizbach. And then we jump ahead in the Mishnah to the cases of Pesach and Chatas. In those cases, if he has a machsheva shelo lishma, then he violates the lav lo tizbach because the carbon itself is pasul. So that even though at this point, in a sense, you know, you could say that the violation of the lav is a bit of a chidush because the carbon is kosher, so I'm not sure if he violates the lav. But certainly in the cases of Pesach and Chatos, where he definitely passels the carbon, so that's called a dibur ra. So what I mean to say is the following. If the Kohen declares Lishma in any of the Karbanos, that we'll call that a Dibur Tov. Everything is fine. If, on the other extreme, the Kohen has a Dibur Ra, which passels the Karban, then he violates this Lav of Lo Tizbach, which applies not just to the Avodah of Zvicha, but applies to the other Avodas as well. In the middle, between the two polar extremes, we have the case of a Machsheves Shelo Lishma. In the extreme case where he passes the carbon, that would be either a machshav of chutz le mimkomo or chutz lizmano. But now we're talking in our Mishnah about a machshav of shalol lishma. A machshav of shalol lishma in the case of Chatos and Pesach is, shall we say, on the same level of intensity in the negative sense as a dibur ra, as a machshav of chutz lizmano chutz mimkomo. Because to the same extent that a machshava chutz zmano chutz mkoma passels all karbanos, in the cases of Chatos and Pesach, a machshava shelo lishma passels the karban. And therefore it makes absolute sense that we can extend the application of this lav, which applies to the avoda in a case where the karban is going to be passel as a result of dibur ra, to the cases of shelo lishma in Chatos and Pesach. But if you're talking about shelo lishma and shar karbanos, here it becomes a little bit more tricky. I'm not sure if dibur ra as a violation of a lav dorais should apply in this case, because at the end of the day, the carbon is kosher. And from the fact that Rashi says not only is the carbon kosher, but it means we're going to go ahead and do the zrika, we're going to eat the basar, we're going to be makta de murim, how can you say such a thing? After all, he had a mashava of a dibur ra, and the answer is it's not such a dibur ra because the carbon is still kosher. So therefore, the implication, if the long term repercussions of calling this a carbon kosher in the case of shar karbana shelo lishma, is, says Rashi, that we can go ahead and do the zrika. Why? Because the carbon is not possible. The implication of Rashi is that if the carbon would be possible, then it would be an avera d'oraisa to go ahead and be makta this carbon, to be zorik the dam. And if we're looking for a source for this avera, we might find it here in the Ramban, based on the Sifra and the pasuk lo tizbach. And if that pasuk includes not just zvicha but all the avodos, and since the carbon is possible, then whatever machshava he started with, let's say he had a machshava of shechting a Pesach l'shem shlomim or a chatos l'shem olah, then he is violating the lav lo tizbach because he is passing the carbon. That's a dibur ra. So that the dibur ra extends beyond shalo chutz zvano chutz mkoma to include any dibur ra that would invalidate the carbon. And in this case, it would be shalo l'shma. And this, I think, makes a lot of sense if we add our discussion of last week, just to remind you, that when we talk about a machshava poselus, we're not just talking about the absence of lishma, because it could very well be that in the absence of lishma, the carbon might be kosher through the din of mistama, stama lishma, but we're talking about a negative kavana of shelo lishma, and that's a machshava poselus. And therefore, if our Mishnah is addressing the case of a machshava poselus, then that's called a dibur ra. Certainly in the case of Pesach and Chatos, less so in the case of Shaar Kodshim, and we don't know exactly whether in Shaar Kodshim, until we see Rashi, would there be a violation if he went ahead and after he had a Machshava Shelo Lishma, let's say for example, Olo L'Shem Shlomin, and then he went ahead and he did the Zrika Sadam, would he be violating any Isur in the Ramban's frame of reference? And the answer might be no. And that's what Rashi is telling us, that the carbon is kosher, despite the fact that it was an Olo L'Shem Shlomin with a Shini Kodesh, but as long as the carbon is kosher, that's not called a Dibur Ra. It's going to mess up the Bailim, because they're going to have to bring a replacement Olo, or whatever the carbon might be, but it's not called a Dibur Ra. So if you take a look here in Os Beis, which is on page Gimel, you'll see that he says, and I'm skipping down to about line 5, for the because we you know we're always on a time schedule here. He says, "Havol begavne shamachshava poselis es hakarman kigon pesach v'chatos." Then if he goes ahead and he does the zriko and akhtar seimurim yachilus abosa ika yisura b'chol eila. And in order to understand what the nature of that Isur is, so Rashi's saying that the carbon is kosher, and therefore he can go ahead and do all these three activities. Again, let's just review them. Zrika Sadam, Achila Sabosar, Akhtara Saimurim, you can do all those three because the carbon is kosher. But had the carbon be possible, like for example, Shelo Lishma in the cases of Pesach and Chatos, then it would be a violation of an Isur in any of those three. And in order to establish where that Isur is, so on the one hand he quotes a Gemara Psachim in the second paragraph on Daf Chav Dalid, Lo Yochal Ki Kodesh Hu. So that would help me understand why I'm enjoined in an Isur Doraisa from eating a carbon posel, the basar of a carbon posel. That's not going to help me to justify a violation of the law in the case of Zrika Sadam of a carbon posel, or Akhtar Seimurim of a carbon posel. And that he bases on the Ramban, which if you turn to page Dalid, you'll see that the Ramban quotes a posel called Lo Tizbach Shor Oseh Ashayiyah Bomum Kol Dovara. And then if you skip another few lines, he says, the Omer, the Kohen, declares, Almanas Lechol V'Lizro Chutzim Komo Chutzim Zmanu Shezeh Dibura. And why is that called the Dibura? Because it contains within it the pasulus of the carbon. And therefore we might be tempted now to expand the scope of this Isur Lo Tizbach to any Machshava Poselis. We shouldn't limit it to Chutzim Zmanu Chutzim Komo. We can apply it to a Machshava Shelo Lishma in the cases of Chatos and Pesach. And he goes on in the next paragraph to derive from this Ramban. That's the next paragraph in the Ramban, which we didn't get to right now. And that is that the Isur of Lo Tizbach, in the case of Kol Dovara, applies not just to Shechita, but also to Haktara. And therefore, the Machsheves Pigul, for example, and again, at this point, Machsheves Pigul includes not just Chutz L'Zmano, but also Chutz L'Komo, as we're not getting into the distinctions therein, is over b'la b'chol elu havodos. You might want to underline that, because again, if we don't go through the Ramban inside, this will be your source for that, in the text that says b'chol elu havodos. So we now have a source for a carbon shenifsal that is an Isur Zrika Sadam and Akhtar Seimurim. Now, if this machshava of pigul of chutzis vada chutzim komo is paradigmic of what we call a machshava poseles because it passes the karmon, then in the light of what we discussed last week, that a shelo lishma is also machshava poseles, and that's why if he has in mind chatos l'shem ola or pesach l'shem shlomim, it passes the karmon, then all the avodas that he would do subsequent to that machshava of shelo lishma would be a violation of this Isur of Kol Dovara. And that's what he says in the next paragraph, Ulech Ora. You might just want to underline the main highlights here of this paragraph. He says, Ef shalomar dezeu ha-moko le-isur zrika v'aktar v'machshava shelo lishma. That this pasuk, which Ramban is quoting here in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Losas and Nomadalim, of lo tizbach shar oseh etc. etc. kol davar ra would extend to include even a machshava shelo lishma in the case where that machshava is a machshava poseles and the carbon is completely posel. What would be a case where machshava shelo lishma is a machshava poseles and the carbon is posel? Chatos and Pesach. So in those two cases, what I grant you, what I submit to you, is that we have a violation of the law of lo tizbach of kol davar ra, any machshava that posels the karma. And what was saved from in the case of shar karbanos shelo lishma, says Rashi, is this averus halav. Because since the Mishnah says the carbon is kosher despite the machshava shelo lishma, then it's kosher, and then he can go ahead and do all the avodas and the haktorah and the achila, and everything is fine because the carbon is kosher. And therefore, this machshava shelo lishma is not included in kol davar ra. And the flip side would be a machshava shelo lishma in chatos and pesach that would be included in kol davar ra, and therefore he would violate the isur lav. So just to summarize what we have until now, the bottom line for us as we move forward is that a machshava poseles, whether it be chutzus mano chutzum komor, even shelo lishma in certain karbanos, is a violation of a lav of lo tizbach. That violation includes all the avodos, including haktaras haimurim and achilas habasar, and it's all based on this Ramban of lo tizbach, that lo tizbach is not limited A to zvicha, it includes all avodos, B that the aver of this lav is not limited to chutzus mano chutzum komo, but applies to kol davar ra, meaning any machshava poseles. And as we discussed last week, shelo lishma is a machshava poseles. And the two cases up front, high profile, chatos and pesach.
Is the chiddush on chatos, or is the chiddush on shakabah?
The chiddush that you violate this lav, you mean?
Right.
Is on chatos and pesach. Well, it depends. If you're talking about our chiddush, so to speak, then it's on chatos and pesach. If you're talking about the chiddush of our Mishnah, meaning if you've already accepted our chiddush, then in the case of chatos and pesach, you violate this lav d'oraisa. If you go ahead and you zorik the dam, and there's a psul in the karbon because the machshav is machshava poseles, and now you're enjoined from any of the avodos as a result of this machshava poseles, that's chiddush number one. That's the main breakthrough here. Now we go back and read that Mishnah, and the Mishnah is machadish, that only applies to chatos and pesach, and it doesn't apply to shar karbonos. And why is that? Because in shar karbonos, the carbon is kosher despite the shelo lishma, which means that shelo lishma is not a machshava poseles in all karbonos. It's only a limited machshava poseles in two cases. But when it is a machshava poseles, then that's going to be a violation of the lav, of kol davar ra. And the Ramban is going to say that once the machshava poseles sets up that lav, now it includes all the avodos. And Rashi says, to our joy, and now we can drink a l'chaim, and Rashi says that in all karbonos, with the exception of those two, the carbon is kosher, there's no machshava poseles, go ahead, and vizorik the dam, etc., etc. Now at this point, what I'd like you to do is open up a Mishnah later on in Masechta Zvachim. So do me a favor, John, if you could just file this for a few minutes. And that's on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Because I'd like to get more of a handle on this concept of a Machshava Poseles, especially in the cases of chutz lizmanu, chutz l'mkom. So again, let's just reiterate. There's going to be haktar seimurim on the mizbeach. We call that achilas mizbeach. There's going to be achilas adam, and both are limited in time. So in the classical case of karbanos, how much time allotment do we allow for achilo, whether it's achilos mizbeach and haktaras seimurim, achilos adam? In a classical case, forget about shlomim now. Shlomim is going to be the exception. But in the classical case of kachi kachim and so forth, how much time do we give you for the achilo? That day on which the carbon is brought and the following night. The following morning it already becomes nosar. That itself is a violation of a lav. But if at the time of the Avodas HaKarbon, the Kohen has a declaration of Lemachar, whether it be Lemachar Nachilas Mizbeach, i.e. Haktaras Emurim, or Lemachar Nachilas Adam, that word Lemachar, as soon as it comes out of the mouth of the Kohen, that accomplishes two things, so to speak. The word accomplishes is a little bit strange, but what it generates is, number one, a violation of a lav d'oraisa lo tizbach, because the Torah says not only a balmum, but even kol dovar ra. And number two, it sets up a violation of that same lav for all the other avodos subsequently. So, for example, if he had this machshava of chutz zman or chutz komo at the time of the shechita, vis-a-vis the achilas mizbeach, or alternatively the achilas adam lemachar, then the karbon is possible, and as a result, all the avodos, if he goes ahead and he does them, constitute each one individually a violation of this law of lotisbach, because the Ramban extends it to include all the avodos. So what we want to look at in this Mishnah, just by way of introduction, is the following. When you say that the machshava poseles is achilas, right, one of the two, chutz lezmano lemachar, is he intending to burn all the amurim tomorrow? What about part of the amurim? Is there a minimum amount? Or, for example, achilas adam, when he says that we're going to eat the basar tomorrow, is he eating all the basar that's allowed to be eaten tomorrow? Part of the basar? Is there a minimum shear? So the Mishnah establishes the following. That when the Torah sets up Zman, that's Roy for the Achilas HaKarban, and again I'm using the word Achila to include all types of Achila, and if he has a Machshava beyond that Zman, and let's include also Makom, because the Torah says that you have to eat, let's say in the case of Kachim in the Azorah, in the case of Kachim Kalim anywhere in Yushalayim, if you had a machshava to eat the basar outside of Yushalayim, that's called chutzum komo. It's fascinating that you could even have a machshava chutzum komo even on the avodas haktaras haimurim, you know, you can be makdu the imurim outside the Azorah. In all these cases, he A, passels the karban, and maybe even makes the karban into pigul, and on top of that, he violates the law. So the Mishnah wants to know, what exactly was his machshava of lemachar, of chutzum zman or chutzum kom? Hashochet es hazevach, says the Mishnah, lizrok domo bachutz, so he's going to do the zrikas hadam outside of the azorah. And then it's, so again, if I only had this part of the Mishnah, what does the word domo mean?
Kol
domo. And now the Mishnah goes ahead and is mechadesh o miktas domo bachutz. And we'll have to see where we know this, that even though he's going to do part of the zrika the dam in the azara, but he has in mind, and it maybe makes a declaration that he's going to be zorik a certain part of the dam, we don't know exactly how much yet, chutz la azara. Or, again, that's only in the case of Zrika Saddam. What happens if he has a declaration on Haktar Seymurim? So, first it says, Haktar Seymurim Bachutz, outside of the Azorah, that's referring to the entire Imurim, the whole volume of Imurim. And then the Mishnah again reiterates, O Miktas Imurim Bachutz. Then the Mishnah again says, Lechol Besaro Bachutz. He's going to eat the Basar, Chutzim Komo. Oh, and then he says, now take a look at this, instead of using the word miktas bisaro, which we would have anticipated, he says, o kizayis mi bisaro bachutz. Now at this point, the Mishnah is kind of like spilling the beans here, it's revealing the secret. What does the word miktas mean? Does it mean even a mashahu? He has in mind to, let's say, eat a mashu of basar chutz lemkomo, or chutz zmano, or a mashu of basar to be makti the murim chutz lemzmano chutz lemkomo, or to be zorek a mashu of the dam. So what do we see from the Mishnah when the Mishnah gets up, and again we're going to have to ask the question why the Mishnah waited until this point, and it gets up to the point of achilas basa chutzuzmano chutzum komo, what does it mention? Kizayis. Kizayis is the minimum. And the word kizayis and the shear of kizayis, which we're familiar with in Kol HaTorah Kula, whether it be for mitzvahs, like for example matzah, which requires a minimum of achilas kizayis, or whether it's macholas asuras to violate a chiv malchus, it's always going to require a minimum of kizayis. Now we're applying the concept of kizayis, which is a universal concept, to the achila of kachim, which means that if he has a machshavas chutzuzman of chutzum komo on kachim, on achilas kachim, it's going to be a minimum of achila that constitutes a recognized achila. What's a recognized achila? In this case, kachim, but we have it universally in Kol HaTorah Kula. Kizayis, nothing less than a kizayis will do. So basically, when the Mishnah mentions a domo or a murav and then bisaro, those words really are unnecessary. That clause in the Mishnah where he has a chutzuzmano, chutzum komo on the entire dam, on the entire volume of the Imurim, on all of basar, that's unnecessary. It's lozu afzu. The Mishnah is telling you the upgrade, you know, that which is poshut, and then the Mishnah is going to tell you the chiddush, even if it's not kol domo and it's not kol imurim, not kol basar, but it's kizayis, and that's enough to passel the karban and therefore to violate this law of lotizba. Now we can fast forward, and now we're talking about chutz l'mkoma. I'm sorry, chutz l'zmana. Okay, we're not going to get into ora alia now. That's a whole different sugya. And the Shochet has the declaration of what? Lizrok domo l'machar. Again, domo means kol domo. And then the Mishnah goes ahead, I'm adding the word, miktsas domo l'machar, l'akte imurv l'machar, miktsas imurv l'machar, lecho besar l'machar, kizayis mi besaro l'machar. And in all these cases, we have, in addition to passeling the karbon, now we upgrade it by one notch to pigel, because it's chutz l'zmanu. And therefore, if somebody goes ahead and eats from this basar, then he's chayev karis. So I just want to point out here that he adds one note here on the bottom. It's, again, I think it's pashut, but I'll say it anyway. He says, "V'tzarach shi'eh kizayis, avol b'machashiv al pachos mikizayis, ein hazevach nifsal." And he refers to Rabbi Kiva Eger, who derives this conclusion from a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. And he quotes now the Netziv Mivalojin, "Madu lo hizkir hatana b'feirush." In the case of a murav, o kizayis mei murav. Why did it wait till kizayis mei psaro? And he tells you to look up in the Netziv's work called the Marome Sadeh, sheyishev kushezu. I would have said a technical answer that maybe since the universal concept of achila b'kizayis is derived from achila, and here he's violating an iser by achila's basar, so therefore the Mishnah mentions it explicitly in the case of Achilas Basar, but and if you know me, we can apply it to the Emurim as well. I don't have access to the Meshiv Dover and the Netziv, so I don't know exactly what answer he offers, and maybe you'll find it, but I don't think it's... I'm sorry, what did I say? Meshiv Dover. I'm sorry, Merome Sadeh, by the same author, and... He doesn't tell you where this Merome Sadeh is. But I have a feeling that the Merome Sadeh is daf al daf on Zvachim. And if you find it there, you let me know. It's on Chavtes Amid Beis. Okay. Now, I want to put this sugya down for a minute. And I want to pick up another sugya, which is the sugya of Haktorah. And again, I'm not always sure why Rav Yehuda Hanasi divided it in this way, but basically Zvachim and Menachos are part of one Masechta. So I'll read to you a few lines in Masechta Menachos, and this is on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. Now, if you don't have a Masechta Menachos in front of you, Al Tidagu, don't get worried about that, because there's almost a verbatim quote of the Gemara. I myself couldn't find the Gemara Menachos, so I found the Art Scroll, so that's the best I could do. But if you want to follow me inside, you'll open up to the Nefesh Tova, the same volume that you have in front of you, to page Tav Mem Dalet. Okay, I'm going to write this on the blackboard so no one will have to ask me what page it's on. Volume 1. Okay? And it is... What else? Yeah, that's a basic... Yeah. Os Kuf Pei Vav. Okay, I don't know why. Okay. So I can't write it on the backboard unless I do a Zrika Saddam, but that would cost me my finger. I'll use this red one here. Right?
When the first half is over.
Oh, great. We seem to have a great record here. Kuf Mem Vav, yeah?
Kuf Mem Vav is on Kuf Mem Tet.
What do you say?
Okay, now I'm not going to tell you what page it's on, because I want you to find the right page that I need, which is the paragraph that starts Vehine. And I'm just looking to make sure there are no two Vehines here, because yeah, there are two Vehines. The first Vehine. I get in trouble here with it.
So this is Vav? Kuf Mem Vav?
Os Kuf Mem Vav.
No. This is Os Kuf Mem Vav.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me what page it's on, because I'm going to tell you the wrong page.
Shin Ayin Bet.
The paragraph that starts Vehine. So I'm not interested in knowing where the Simon starts. I just want to know where to find the paragraph starts Vehine B'Menachos.
So Shin Ayin Gimel.
Great. Shin Ayin Gimel. Okay, so this is Amud Shin Ayin Gimel.
At the bottom on the right.
Bottom right. Any other instructions? Okay.
When we saw there was Chav Zayin Mubes, it was Bach.
Chav Pesach Mubes. Okay. So on both sides, what do we have in the Sugya in Menachos? Do you see where it says Pligi Abayi V'Rov, correct? You have that? Everybody, just raise your hand if you have it. Vehine, you have the paragraph Vehine. You see where he quotes a Plutu Ichin Abayi V'Rova? Pligi Abayi V'Rova? Don't all answer at once. I mean, I'm so overwhelmed by your answer that I can't hear you. Okay, let's try something else. If you have the place, raise your hand. Nobody raises their hand. Okay. Why is this so complicated? Maybe it's not on Shin Ayin Gimel on the bottom right?
There are two chalukim in the Sefer. The first chalukim is...
First chalukim, the same volume that we have.
No, it's in the same volume.
There's more than one osk.
Yeah.
Kuf Mem Vav.
Two of the...
But you know what, Rabosa, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Just simply because I don't want to waste your time with my time, I'm going to write my page number, and then you'll find it, okay? So in my page number, it's Tav Mem Dalet. Okay, everybody? In my volume, it's Tav Mem Dalet. You're going to find it either one page before, two pages before. Okay. So what happens in Masechta Menachos on Daf Nun Ches? What's going on over there? The Gemara is actually focused on what's called the Iser of Mincha B'Sa'ar, which means that the Mincha has to be brought before it ferments, before it becomes chametz. And the Torah says, Kol Mincha, this you'll find in Vayikra Perek Beis, the Torah says, Kol an Mincha asher takrivu l'Hashem lo ta'aseh chametz. And then it says, Ki chol si'or v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu ishei l'Hashem. And the Torah is prohibiting haktorah in this particular case of Again, we're not going to go into Dvash. We're going to talk about Haktara of Chametz. Okay? Now, what is the minimum shear, the minimum amount of Chametz that he brings as a mincha, and he's makter it on the Mizbeach to violate this law? Tana Rabban. Great. Tuf Nun Aleph. Okay, is it bottom right?
Yeah,
just kidding.
As a matter of fact.
Oh, it is. Okay, so back to bottom right. Okay, Tuf Nun Aleph. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, there's a brisa that's a little bit ambiguous, and we're going to have machlokas between Abai and Rava as to how to interpret this brisa. Ainli ela kulo, if I only had the pasuk, kol ha mincha, then I would have assumed that kol ha mincha means that the entire mincha that he brought was made of chametz, of siyar. Miktsaso minayin, how do I know that even if he does haktara and only part of the mincha is chametz? And the Gemara answers that the word kol is extra, meaning if you would have dropped the word kol from this pasuk, I would have in any event have assumed that you're only in violation, because we have a rule that whenever the Torah prohibits something, we always take the lesser chidush. So I would have assumed that you're only in violation of this avera if you're makter the entire mincha as chametz. Why did the Torah add the word kol to include even a portion of the mincha was chametz? And the Gemara says, Maika Omar, what is the Tana telling us? Omar Abaye, Abaye says, Hochi Komar. Si'or bal taktiru, when the Torah prohibits us from being maktir, this sa'or, this leaven, ainli ela kezayis, I would only know, this is the way Abaye interprets it, that if this leavened bread is kezayis in its volume, then you violate the Isra Haktorah. Chatzi zayis minayin, how do I know that if he was makdir half of a kezayis of siar on the Mizbeach, he's already in violation of this law? Again, a chatzi zayis. Talmud Lomar, kol. That's why the Torah had to add the word kol. Rava Omar, Rava has a different shita. Hachi Komar. Siar baltak tiru ainli ela kometz. Now, you know that a kometz is a certain volume that he brings for the for a mincha. And kometz here would mean that he's liable for the violation of burning leaven on the Mizbeach because he burnt an entire kometz, a full kometz, on the Mizbeach. Chatzi kometz minayin. How do we know that he's chayav even for a chatzi kometz? And the Gemara is going to assume that a chatzi kometz, according to Rava, is a kezayis worth, whereas again, according to Abaye, the haktorah, the violation of this haktorah siyar, is incurred even with a chatzi zayis. And for that, Talmud Lomar kol. So the word kol is coming to be marbe, according to Abaye, chatzi zayis of siyar, and according to Rava, it's coming to be marbe a kezayis, even though it's not a full kometz. The Maikon Miflegi, the Gemara asks, what are Abaye and Rava arguing about? Abaye Sovar, now watch this, the word kol, Rashi explains, is coming to tell you half. So now, what are we starting with? When we start with the kometz, are we starting with two zesim's worth, which would mean that half means one kezayis worth, and that's what the word kol is coming to be marim, but that's going to be Rava Shita, or can the kometz itself be less than two zesim, which would mean that half of less than two zesim, let's call it 1.9 zesim, which by definition would be less than a kezayis. Abai sover yesh kometz, you could be makter a kometz and be makai in the mitzvah of haktoras a kometz, be pachos mishnei zesim. And if it's pachos mishnei zesim, Okay, he doesn't add anything here. If it's pachas mishkseh zeisin, then the kol, which tells me even half of the kometz, is yesh haktara p'chusa mikizayis. That would mean that even if you have less than a kizayis, it can still be considered half, because the whole is less than two zeisin. Rav Amar ein kometz, pachos, Mishnei Zaysim. Rav is of the opinion that the minimum amount for a kometz itself is Shnei Zaysim. Nothing less than Shnei Zaysim will do. So if you're telling me that a kometz itself is at least a minimum of two Zaysim, and now the kol comes to tell me half, is therefore the Akhtar would have to be at least one Zayas's worth of a Akhtar. Is therefore ein Akhtar p'chusa mikizayis. That's according to Rav. Now the sugya later on is going to present a machlokas between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and the Gemara is going to try to match up the machlokas between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish with the machlokas between Abai and Rav. And this is based on an earlier sugya in Masechet Menachos, Adaf Chavav Amid Beis. Let's see if I have Chavav Amid Beis. I don't even know if it has it here, because they break it up. Ah, no, it's not even here. Alright. So in the paragraph that you have, you may see Ubeperek Kometz Rabba Chavav Amid Beis. Do you have such a thing? It would be about line, let's say 10, line 9, something Mashu Kazeh. Tna. There's going to be a machlokas now, how to interpret a Mishnah in Menachos Chavav Amid Beis. Hiktir Komtza Pa'amim Kshera. Pa'amim means he was mocked at the Kometz, what we call piecemeal, you know, smaller pieces at a time. And the Mishnah establishes that he fulfills the mitzvah of Haktaras HaKometz. Again, in addition to the kometz, what else do we need in a mincha? That's not for us now. A lavona, you remember that?
Yeah.
We once spoke about the sugya of ein pigel b'chatzi matir, which might mean that he has to have a shemes pigel not only in the haktaras hakometz, but also in the haktaras halavona. Okay, but that's just going to confuse us. And there the Gemara quotes machlokas tree. Oh, I thought it was Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that what he could do is he could be maktir the kometz chetzia chetzia. No, it's chetzia berishona. That's called pa'amim, and chetzia b'shnia. Rabbi Yochanan goes even a step further, and he says that you could break down the haktaras hakometz into smaller pieces. He calls it afilu pa'ame pa'amim, not just pa'amim, but pa'ame pa'amim. My Beinayu, what is the essence of this machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Omer Rabbi Zera, Yesh Kometz Bepachas Mishnei Zeisim. Is there a possibility of doing a Haktara of less than Shnei Zeisim? Okay, we're not yet ready for breaking down the Shnei Zeisim into smaller parts, but anyway, we want to know what the minimum of Haktaras HaKometz is. Is it Shnei Zeisim, or is it even less than Shnei Zeisim? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi sover ein kometz bepachos mishnei zeisim. That means the minimum shear of a kometz Haktara is two zeisim. Whose shita does that reflect, Rabbi Osai, in the sugya that we saw Daf Nun Ches? That you have to start with a minimum of two zeisim. That would be Rava, because Rava says that in a machsheves chutzim zman or chutzim komo for the haktaras hakarbon, you need haktara on at least a minimum of a kezayis. And why is that? Because the word kol in the parsha of Siyar is coming to split the kometz into half. And if the kometz itself requires two zeisim minimally, then the kol is coming to marva a violation of the lav and haktara of one zayis. So that's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ein kometz pachos mi shnei zeisim. Is mevela koyt Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if the Torah says half, then ein aktar p'chusa mi kezayis. Okay, because half of two zaysim is a kazayis. Rav Yochanan Savar, yesh kometz, pachos mishnei zaysim, like hushita, like abaye, and therefore, what's the if you could be yotzei kometz with less than shnei zaysim, and now the Torah with the word kol is coming to split it in half, then yesh aktar b'pchusa b'kazayis. It can be makdir less than a kazayis, and therefore, Rav Yochanan says pa'amim and pa'amim pa'amim. So you could go ahead and do a Maisak Torah on, let's say, a third of a kezias, and then another third of kezias, another third of kezias. He can keep going on until finally he reaches the shear of a kometz. And we could break down the Torah into smaller parts, each of which is comprised of less than a kezias, because yesh Torah b'pachos mikezias. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Rabbi Yeshua Levi says no. The minimum amount of Akhtar, which is half of a kometz, and the kometz itself is at least a minimum of two zaysim, would only be a kezias. So once he did a Akhtar on a kezias, then he could add one more Akhtar on the other kezias, but he can't add a third Akhtar because that would be on Prophesmi kezias. Now all this has to lead us to Tosfos. Now I'm going to open up Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. And I'm going to look for Tosis, Dibra Maschil, Abaye. Yeah, I thought that we were going to get away easy. Because, you know, when I see a Tosis at the very bottom of the novel, that usually means easy street, right? Yeah, but it's just a trick of the eye, because it starts on the bottom of the page, but it goes on for quite a bit on the next page. And that's Nun Ches Amud Beis. So everybody should, you know, either take a look at the Tosfos or the quote of the Tosfos. I'm just going to try to give you the bottom line. Tosfos says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who allows you to be mocked to the kometz in very small amounts, he might hold that if he was maktir pochus mikazayis, that's not aktora. Why? Because if at the end of the day he's maktir everything, then Rabbi Yochanan has an ability to integrate smaller amounts of haktora into one great haktora. But Rabbi Yochanan is going to insist that ultimately you have to be maktir more than a kezias. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's what's called the Maisa Haktorah, and then there's what we call the Kiyum Haktorah. Does this sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Okay. We've spoken about this in the past, that sometimes, you know, you can set up a Maisa, which in and of itself is significant as a Maisa, but it cannot generate the chalos, you know, the kium or the kashus of the karbon. And if you take a look now in the Nefesh Tova, can you find a paragraph which hopefully will be on the bottom of page, what did we say, Tof Mem Dalet? I'm sorry, Tof Nun Dalet? Tof Nun Dalet? Okay, I'm sorry, so let me erase this. This is my page.
It's right?
Okay. And there's a paragraph that starts Venira Bir Divrehem. You have such a paragraph?
Yeah.
He's what? Yes? No?
Yes,
maybe?
Yes.
Venira Bir Divrehem. He says the Hadis Sfirle Rav Yochanan, the Yeshak Torah Pchusa Mikazayis, Hainu Sheshayach Lechalek Es Maisa Haktor. Please underline those words. Maisa Haktorah. Ulahakdir Bechol Pam Pochus Mikazayis Vechashive. It's considered Maisak Torah. Aval ha miyas delo mikri sheniskaima haktorah bakometz. So in other words, if you're talking about the action of the person, then Rabbi Yochanan is willing to validate and recognize the significance of the Maisak Torah even on less than a kezayis of kometz. But if you're talking about to be makayim the mitzvah of haktoras kometz, then lo mikri niskaima haktor bekometz elam kein hukter bimenu kezayis. V'lakach le'inyin machsheves pigul lo'havi machshava ad sheyachshov al kizayis to be'inyin sheyachshov al kiyum haktorah ba'kometz. So here's the hakira that the Rashiva is raising. What constitutes a machsheves pigul, let's say chutzus mano, in achila? Is it the maisa or is it the kiyum? And the nafkamina is going to be what happens if he has a machshava on haktor of less than a kizayis. We saw already in Abaye on Dafnim Chesam and Aleph that machshava could engender a violation of the law in the case of haktor asiyar. Now we're talking about a machsheves chutzus mano, and if the Torah recognizes a violation of the law in the case of Abaye, or in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, when he went ahead and he was makhtir the kometz piecemeal, and he did haktorah on less than a kizayis, that's recognized by Rabbi Yochanan as a mais haktorah. So if I assume that a machsheves pigul of chutzus mano depends upon the mais haktorah, then we could have a machsheves pigul on less than a kizayis. If, on the other hand, we're talking about not the mais haktorah, but rather the kiyum haktorah, in the heft of the comets, which Rabbi Yochanan agrees requires what? A full kezias, then v'chein, let's derive a conclusion, le'inyin chiyuv, in order to engender a violation of the law of haktoras chutz, right, because if he was marked with the machshavas chutz, let's say chutz l'zmano, eino mischayev ad sheyachtir, his machshava was on haktorah of a kezayis of chutz. Again, chutz might be chutz umkomo, it might be chutz uzmano. The bahachi niskaima haktorah bakomets. Okay, he's talking now about a korban mincha, but again, we can extrapolate to all korbanos, and we can wonder what constitutes a machshava of chutz in the case of haktorah. Is it a machshavas chutz on a kezayis, which means that we're recognizing haktorah on a kezayis as a mais haktorah, or is it going to depend upon the kiyum haktorah, which might require, let's say, for example, in the case of a kometz of mincha, two kezayisim, and therefore the machshava would not be enough to have a machshava on kezayis. Let's extend this a little bit further to Abaye Shita. Abaye holds that you could have a haktorah on less than a kezayis. What would be if he had a machshava of chutzus mano on less than a kezayis, let's say a chatzi kezayis, which according to Abaye would constitute a mais haktorah? Haraya, according to Abaye, if he was makdir a chatzi zayis of sa'ar in a mincha, he would violate an isa lav d'oraisa. So maybe machsheves pigul should also be engendered by this definition of a mais haktorah, which might mean even less than a kezayis. So for this, I want you to fast forward, and again, Sammy, you're going to have to help me here. It's the next os, which would be, let's just get the Kuf Pei Zion. Again, I'm assuming this was Kuf Pei Vav in your book. Did I get that right? What we just did was Kuf Pei Vav?
Right.
So can you fast forward to Kuf Pei Zion?
Right.
And you'll tell me what page it's on?
Tough Nun
Dao. Okay, we're catching up. Tav Nun Dao. Okay, this we can put away for now. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is turn to a paragraph called Vehine. Again, that's always tricky. And what I mean is the first time you'll get to Vehine. Are we still on Tuf Nun Dalet or we flipped the page? We flipped the page. Okay. I also flipped the page, so it's Tuf Nun He. In my book, it's Tuf Mem He. So I'm 10 pages behind you, which means that in the second publication, they added 10 pages. That's going to cost me another 40 years. 45 shekels.
It's 50.
Yeah. Oh, it's up to 50. I guess I got a special prize. I don't know. Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Lechem HaPanim. So as I always tell you, all of Kadshim is one entity. You know, we're flying here, two sugyas in Menachas, two sugyas in Tzvachim. Now we have a sugya in Yuma about Achilas Lechem Aponim. So Lechem Aponim was taken off the Shulchan on Shabbos, and then it was divvied up amongst the Anshei Avishma, the Kohanim who were on duty. And the Gemara reports that not every Kohen got a sizable amount of the Lechem Aponim. In fact, as it turns out, after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, there was a great bracha in the Lechem Aponim until Shimon HaTzadik passed away. And after that bracha ceased, there was no longer an ability for everyone to get a kezayis worth of the Lechem Aponim, each Kohen Anin. But yet, nevertheless, the Gemara reports in Yuma and Daf Lamentes that if you got less than a kezayis, yesh ochlo v'savea. It's unbelievable. A very small amount of lechem aponim would satiate the kohen. Not only that, he said, yesh ochlo, some would get it, and mosir, they would have even extra. They would share it with other kohen. But mikan v'yelech, after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, Nishtalcha Me'era, there was a curse in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not sure if it means a curse or the absence of a bracha. And each Kohen would get Kipul Halavan, like a white bean. It was a very small bean. And the Tosis Yeshanim that's published on the Gilyon, on the Al-Atar, as we say, on the page itself, asks the following question. We have a mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. In fact, the Ramban, not the Rambam, but the Ramban codifies that as one of the Tariq mitzvahs, Achilas Kodshim. Now we have another rule. Who can fill me in on this? Ein Achila, who can fill in the missing blanks? Talkas mikizayis. So we need a minimum shear of a kizayis. So Bishlema, I understand that as long as Shimon HaTzadik was alive, Each Kohen got a minimum shear, but at least he got a kezayis, and he felt satiated from it. But after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, they divvied up the lechem aponim in such a way that the Kohen would get each Kohen kipul. Kipul is always an example of a very small amount that's less than a kezayis. So Tosi Shalom says, Eich miskayim mitzvah sachila bepachos mikezayis. So the Tosis Yeshanim gives a very strange answer, very ambiguous. He says, the after kezayis adif mikomakom lo be'inin kezayis l'kiyumei mitzvah achila. Very strange. If you take the Tosis Yeshanim literally, it sounds like he's telling us that even though for matzah, for example, I cannot be mekayim the mitzvah matzah with less than a kezayis, but in the case of achilas lechem aponim, I can be Mekayim the mitzvah with less than a kezayis.
Yeah, but it's because it's beis sphere.
Yeah, but take a look at his language. He says, lo boy kezayis l'kiyumei mitzvah sachila.
Right.
That we don't require a kezayis.
Because the mitzvah sachila is on beis sphere.
No, again, this is after the Ma'ara. You know, you're going back to the time of Shimon HaTzadik.
Oh, I see.
So on this question of the Tosis Yeshanim, we have what might be, I don't know, I'm getting dramatic here, the most famous chiddush in all of Kadshim. And it's really a very, very famous chiddush. And that's the chiddush of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says that there are two types of mitzvahs of achila. And this has tremendous repercussions in many different areas. There's one achila which is the action of achila. And when the Torah commands me in the action of achila, we apply the principle of what? Ein achila pachos mikizayis. There's another kind of mitzvah achila. And that's not the action of the person, but rather what?
The kiyum, yourself.
The kiyum, but you have to add a little bit. It's not, you're right, it's the kiyum, but it's the heft itself. The heft itself has to be eaten. Okay, in grammar, I'll give you a quick ulpan lesson. I get an extra salary for this. There's called the ochel and the nechal. In most cases, the mitzvah is on the ochel. And then we apply the principle of what? Of kezayis. But then there's another kind of a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah on the nechal, which means that the object should be eaten. Okay? Should be eaten. What's that called in English grammar? Reflexive or causative? I don't know what it's called.
Passive.
Should be eaten.
Passive.
What?
Passive.
I didn't hear you.
Passive.
Should be. I don't know if that's the word passive, because again, we're going to require an action here.
It's reflexive.
But, maybe yeah, reflexive. That's what I think it's causative. I think it means you have to cause, through your action, you have to cause the object to be eaten. Like, for example, on the night of Pesach, on the Seder plate, we bring out charoses. Is there a mitzvah of eating charoses? Well, yes and no. There's no mitzvah on the ochel to eat the charoses, because you don't have to eat a kezayis of charoses, but the charoses should be eaten. Maybe in this case, it should be eaten with the matzah at the time of the mizbeach. Maybe it should be eaten with the korban Pesach.
Not relevant who eats it.
Oh, so it's very relevant who eats it, but it's not relevant how much he eats, as long as at the end of the day it will be eaten. So we can gather together. Let's say we were all kohanim here in this room. We can each get kepul alavan of the lechem aponim, as long as at the end of the day, after we divvy up the lechem aponim to small minuscule parcels, the lechem aponim is eaten. That's called a nechal. Let's read it inside. He gives you a summary of the Beis HaLevi. He says, the mitzvahs achilas kodshim, this is a very, very famous chiddush. If we were giving a shiur on derech halimud, this would be a breakthrough in derech halimud. Mamish a breakthrough. This is like a paradigmic case of gavra cheftza, okay? He says the following, bir divrei tos yishanim, the mitzvahs achilas kodshim is not similar to achilas matzah. The law have your mitzvah gavra, which means the action, the ochel, lechel kodshim. Because again, if it was on the gavra, then how much would be the minimum amount that he has to eat? A kezayis no less will do. Ukir chazinon demishiyesh lo besar kodesh or shus piyado lit no liacher. Okay, this is a whole other discussion. Normally, if you're given a cheftza shel mitzvah, a cheftza al chila, you can't pass it on to others. You have to do it yourself. Because that would be like an insult to the kodshim if you don't eat it yourself. But here you're allowed to pass it on, because the mitzvah is not on you to do the act of a chila, but the mitzvah is to see to it that the carbon is nechal. So I can give it to someone else. Ela mitzvah debosar hakodshim yiyah nechal. Do you see that, Rabosa? Again, if it's your book, please underline that. Shamitzvah debasar hakodshim yiyah nechal. Did you see where we made the shift from the ochel to the nechal? V'im kein, af bi ochal kol echad pachas mikazayis. In other words, no one implemented a maisa achila, because no one ate a kazayis. Mikol makom, the mitzvah was fulfilled. Deha hakodshim nisachlu. Okay, we're going to call that reflexive or causative. But it's kaima mitzvah. Ad kan dvar.
How does he know this? Is it a pasuk?
No, you might ask how the Gemara knows it, but he's assuming that's pshat in the Gemara. You can offer a different pshat in the Gemara, but the Gemara says that each kohen got kepul alavan. How is that a kiyum mitzvah? The Tos Yishonim says that's a kiyum mitzvah. I promise you, if you took a pul halavan of matzah on Leil HaPesach, no one would say, not even Tos Yishonim would say, you're makayim the mitzvah. Why? Because ein achila pachos mi kezayis.
Most people would take kezayis, not something
like it. Yeah, that's true too. I don't know how you have to eat a kezayis tokidei achilas pras, and the question is how long do they give you for the kezayis until finally you commit suicide by eating, you know, two kezayis in 60 seconds. By the way, on an agadic level, if you don't mind, just a very quick agadic statement. Is there a din or a kium in matzah shehei nechal? So this is a famous chiddush of the Vilna Gaon. Unbelievable. The Vilna Gaon says, listen to this, that if you don't contribute to Maos Chitim, then you will not be able to fulfill your mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Now, I don't know if he means it literally. He may be saying it in a more of an inspiring way. But what he says is the following, that the Torah says in Matzah, matzos te'ochlu. And he says that the mitzvah is to be nechal, meaning that you have two obligations. Number one is your obligation to eat the matzah, and number two, to see to it that the matzah is eaten. So the Gaon asks, what does that mean that the Torah is telling you, see to it that the matzah is eaten? You're eating the matzah. Das gedusha, you're enough. You eat, ate the matzah. No, it's not enough. You have to make sure that he eats the matzah. He's a poor person. He doesn't have the money to buy the matzah, especially in today's prices. My friend told me he went to a chabura. They rented an oven. He got three burnt matzahs, and he paid about 300 shekel just for three matzahs, you know, until they rented the place, until they did. And it took him 8 hours. And I would rather be sitting and learning 8 hours. But he, you know, there's a Hidur to bake your own matzahs, wonderful. So, fine. Okay, I'm not, no comments here. I'll leave out all my editorial comments. So he ended up with three matzahs. Okay. So the point is that matzahs become very expensive. They soar, the prices soar to the sky. And there are people who can't afford matzahs. And imagine Soviet Union back in the day of communism. You know, they couldn't get matzahs. If you could bring them matzahs, that was unbelievable. In the Holocaust, the Rahmanul Islam, I mean, there was nothing. There was they tried to bake whatever. How could they bake matzahs in the camps? You know, and there's so many stories about what they did, the Mesiris Nefesh. But the mitzvah, says the Gaon, is not just to eat the matzah, but to see to it that the matzah is eaten. And we're saying the same thing about kachin. The mitzvah of kachin is not to eat the kachin. The mitzvah is to make sure that the kachin is eaten. So if I'm given a piece of the Kodesh and now I want to give it to you for whatever reason, I'm allowed to do that. In other mitzvahs, I have a chovas gavra to eat the maaser mitzvah of eating. But the big chiddush here is that I can get away with eating kapula lava. Why? Because the cheftz of the Kodesh is eaten. And this is going to have a tremendous impact on our discussion today about a machsheves chutzuzmano, chutzumkomo, a machshava of pigul. Because how much of a minimum do you have in mind of chutz? And if you're going to talk about the maisa mitzvah, so your definition of a maisa achilu would be what?
Sorry.
A kezayis. Less than a kezayis can't be a maisa mitzvah. But if you're talking about the kiyum mitzvah, then we've seen already in the Beis Halev the kiyum mitzvah could be what? Less than a kezayis can pull a lovin in the case of lechem avonim because it's a nechal. So what kind of machshava now would you be in violation of, you know, lotizvach and everything we discussed in the Ramban if you had a chutz lizmano on the achilas abosar? Is it a minimum of kezayis or not? Well, that should depend upon the chakir that we had back here on page. Forget it. I think I read. Oh yeah, Tuflin Aleph, was that it? And you remember that there was a machlokas about haktara, whether the haktara for which you violate an iser is haktara of less than a kezayis, or it requires a kezayis. And we said the following: a mais haktara requires a kezayis, but the kiyum haktara might be on less than a kezayis. So, for example, Rabbi Yochanan has the shita of pa'amim, 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 that you could have haktaras hakometz, piecemeal, with less than a kezayis, and Tosus points out that's only on the condition that eventually you have the full kezayis. So whereas, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a mais haktar on less than a kezayis, the kiyum haktar is on a full kezayis, and now this is going to impact on the machshava of chutz lizmano. If the machshava of chutz lizmano is determined by a mais haktara, then there's such a thing as a maisak Torah of pachas v'kezayis. But if the machshav is going to be determined by the kiyumak Torah, the kiyumak Torah requires a kezayis. Now if we take this and we plug it in to achilas basar in the case of kodshim, and a machshav of chutz lizmano, well, what's the machshav of chutz lizmano on it? Is it on the kiyum or is it on the maisa? If it's on the maisa achila chutz lizmano, then a maisa achila pachas mi kezayis. If it's on the kiyum of achila, then we've seen already from the sugya in Yuma based on the Beis Halevi that there's a kiyum haktara even in pachas v'kezayis. So let's take a look at the paragraph that starts ulach ora, which is the next paragraph on page tafnun dalet, unless you're already on tafnun hey. Do you have ulach ora? He says the following. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's just go five lines before Lechora. Do you see in the middle of the big paragraph of Hine, towards the end of that paragraph, it says Vehine?
Yeah.
He says, Vehine lefi divrei habeis halevi, leka lemeima deshir machsheves achilas odom depigul bekezayis, hu mishum deshir achilas kodshin bekezayis. In other words, the definition that we take to the table, that the minimum machsheves pigul is achilas kezayis chutzlizmano, is because the shear of achilas kochim is kezayis. That's not really true. Now we have to substitute a whole new set of rules and regulations in the light of the Beis HaLevi. Dovlobi in kezayis lekiyum mitzvah achilas kochim. So now, according to the Beis HaLevi, you could be makai in the mitzvah achilas kochim, which, as I said before, the Ramban codifies that, includes it in the Taryag, that mitzvah can be fulfilled with less than a kezayis. That's how he interprets the Tosi Shadim in the Gemara of Lechem Aponim.
We never know how much less.
Whatever it is, can pull out love on it. It's like a minimum shear.
Yeah, but you got to find out, you got to see how many people actually ate it and then finished it up.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting point. But nevertheless, if, you know, the conditions are met, then I could be Yotze, my mitzvah achilas kodshim, with less than a kezayis. If that be the case, if there's a possibility of being Makayim, the mitzvah of Achilas Kodesh with less than a kezayis, then let's ask ourselves the following question. Why is it that the shear of Machsheves Achilas Olam Chutzis Mano of Pigol has got to be a kezayis? I'm going to eat a kezayis when the Kiyum Karbon of Achila is even less than a kezayis? Is Lachora Tzarech Lomar? Now we're up to the paragraph that comes. So the next paragraph, the sheer kezayis, what's the sheer of kezayis required for Machsheves Achilas Pigol? Who mishum de maisa achila virak bekezayis, who pachos mikezayis lo mikri maisa achila. True, I have to admit to you, based on in the light of this base HaLevi, that the kiyum achila of kodshim is in less than a kezayis. But I still maintain my definition of a maisa achila. When it comes to pigul, the pigul doesn't depend upon the kiyum of the mitzvah of achila, but rather on the maisa achila. And the maisa achila, even in achila's kodshim, requires kezayis. So it comes out in a very paradoxical way that the mitzvah of achila's kodshim, from the perspective of the kiyum of mitzvah, doesn't require kezayis. The mitzvah is in the basa, that the basa should be a nechal. But as far as pigul is concerned, the standard of pigul is going to be the maisa haktorah.
But that doesn't make
sense. Just give me one more second, Yechiel, because otherwise I don't know where I'm going here, because the punchline is in the next few lines. El ditzorech iun. Now I have a problem, he says. The imkain. Ma di alfinin achilas mizbech mi achilas odom. Okay, now let's watch this. The parsha of Pigul in Achilas Mizbeach, meaning Haktar Seymurim, is derived from a Hekesh to Achilas Adam. You know, it's in the Torah itself. When the Torah talks about Machsheves Pigul, it's talking about Machsheves Pigul Achilas Adam Chutzuzmano. And that is set up, the shear of Machsheves Pigul now we've established is based on what? The Maisachil, the Kezayis. Is of now, when I jump over to the Nilmad, right? And what's the Nilmad here? What do we derive? What is Achilas Mizbeach? Is Hainu Nami to be in a Machshaval Maisak Torah? Im Kain, I Ika Maisak Torah Vipachos Mi Kezayis. If you can have a Maisak Torah less than a Kezayis, whose sheet is that? We saw it in Abai and then we saw it later in Rabbi Yochanan. Is Hochinami Machsheves Pigul Alak Torah Tehebe Pochus Mikazayas? Why does the Mishnah say that in Haktorah Seymurim? Let's go back to the Mishnah. On Daf Chav Zayin Omid Beis in Masecht Zvachim, he says, Oh, Lahakter Imurim Bachutz, Oh, Miktas Imurim Bachutz. What's considered Miktas Imurim Bachutz? For a Machsheves Pigul, it's got to be a minimum of Kizayas. And the Nitziv is going to somehow tell me why the Mishnah didn't spell this out until it got to Achilas Basar of Achilas Adam. But in any event, nobody argues that we're talking about a minimum of Kezayis. Well, let's talk not in terms of the Maisak Torah, but let's talk in... I'm sorry. let's talk not in terms of the Kiyum HaKtorah, but rather of the Maisa HaKtorah. The Maisa HaKtorah could be implemented as a full-fledged, valid Maisa HaKtorah, according to Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan, with less than a Kezias. And why you insist that the Shear of Pigel should be on the Maisa HaKtorah? The answer is because Pigel in Achilles Mizbeach is derived from Achilles Adam. Let's go back to the drawing board. Achilles Adam, we said, is on a Kezias because that's the Maisa Achila, even though the Kiyum Achila would be achieved according to Beis HaLevi with what? With less than a Kezias. But what is the final criterion and the barometer for Machsheves Pigel? It's going to be the Maisa Achila. If we apply that to HaKtorah Asayimurim, then the Shear of Maisa HaKtorah is going to be less than a Kezias. Do you hear where the Rashim is Tzarech Iyun? You feel down the floor.
I see it, but I think there's a flaw in the logic, because
you think it's kasha, not a kasha.
I think the Beis HaLevi svar is not. It doesn't flow.
Oh, you're going back to the Beis HaLevi?
I just want to know where you go. Without the Beis HaLevi, I don't have the
Tzarech. No. It's okay. No, I just want to know. Sometimes I have to tune in. I have to know where, what you're shooting arrows at.
Because without a machshavas pigel, and I have a proper haktara, a proper achila, everything's done kedas v'kedin. There is no ma'is achila apparently, according to the Beis HaLevi. I don't have to have one because I'm eating pachas because ice is perfectly okay. I don't need a ma'is achila at all. To say that the machshavas pigel, which will ruin that, is based on something I don't even need, it doesn't consist. I have to say the thing I'm going to do that wrong.
Again, when you talk about what you need, what we're talking about is what the karba needs. The karba needs that the bus will be mechal. We're not denying that if you eat a kezias, you obtain something which is not necessary, it's not critical for the karba and its hechsher, namely the kiyum of achila. So, what I want you to make sure is don't come to the mistaken conclusion that according to the Beis HaLevi, a maisa achila of a kezias is totally meaningless. And it's irrelevant whether he eats less than a kezias or more than a kezias. That's not so. It's irrelevant to the hechsher akarban, meaning as long as we can join together all the kohanim to finally eat the basar, then it's irrelevant whether Ploni Almoni, we'll call him Joe the Kohen, ate a kezias or didn't eat a kezias. But as far as Joe himself is concerned, if he wants a kiyum of a maisa achilas kochim, then like in any achila, like matzah for example, he needs a minimum of a kezias. Why do I mention this? Because again, we still have to justify the fact that in Machsheves Pigel, the Mishnah says explicitly that it's al menas lechol kezias min abasal amachar. That sets up Pigel. Why? Because less than that is not an achila. So the Gemara is going to apply the principle of ein achila pachas mikezayis in kodshim to establish the minimum shear of chutz l'zmano and achila for pigel. And guess what? It's ein achila pachas mikezayis. But here's where the Rosh Yeshiva gets himself into deep trouble, because if you're going to say that the koveya of the shear, as far as Hashem's pigel, is the maisa, then the parallel, mirror image on the other side of the equation is going to be the maisa ktara. We've already established that according to not just one Amora, but at least two Amoraim go explicitly, and nothing less than Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, that there's a Maisa HaKtorah in Pachas Mikizayis. That's Pa'amim in the case of HaKtorah HaKomets. So he's marked in Pachas Mikizayis of the Komets, and that's a Maisa HaKtorah. We're going to integrate the Maisa HaKtorah until he finally gets a Kizayis in order to get the Kiyum HaKtorah. Now, all of a sudden, the Kiyum HaKtorah is Ktorah, is a Kizayis, and therefore, again, following the reasoning of the Mishnah, the underlying logic of the Mishnah, therefore the minimum amount of Machsheves HaKtorah for Pigel of Chutz Mano is going to be a Kezias. Wonderful. If I only had that to stand on and to address, I would survive that. Why? Because if you have to get a cube, in other words, Pigel means removing the cube karma. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's the flip side, the negative of the positive. On the positive side of the equation, we have the kiyum karba. On the negative side of the equation, we have chutz zmano as a machsheves pigel. That's going to undermine the kiyum karba. Do it make sense that if the kiyum karba requires a kezias, then the machsheves pigel requires a kezias? I would have no problem with that. As we say, I don't know, in America or maybe in other countries, no sweat. You remember that phrase, no sweat? That would be great. My only problem is the following two premises. Premise number one is that the all the dinim of pigul in Akhtara are derived from a Hekesh 2, the din pigul of Achilas Adam. That's premise number one. Premise number two is that in the shear of pigul for Achilas Adam, we're basing ourselves not on the kiyum karbon of achila, the kiyum achila, but rather on the mais achila. No, if you're basing yourself on the mais achila, then in the case of akhtara, why not derive the conclusion that the mais akhtara alone should be enough to be to generate pigul? He says the ayin li el. If you, you have such a thing, ayin li el mi divrei atosvis mivuar the afla mandis virle diyesh mais akhtara v'pachas mikazayis. Mikomakom. What do you have after Mikomakom? You have E?
Yeah.
I think it's... I also have E. It should be Ein. Oh, I'm sorry. E. E means if. It's a little... See? Yeah. It has to brush up the... The editing work has to be brushed up a little. He says, E kiyum akhtar bekomets. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Right, that's the Gemara goes through this entire discussion, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that even though you can have a Maisak Torah, Pox Mikazayis, going to Rabbi Yochanan, but for the Kiyumak Torah, you need to hit the jackpot, and that's a Kizayis. Is then Af Machsheves Pigul Dina Bikazayis? Right, so the logic is that for Machsheves Pigul and Akhtara say Murim, you need a minimum of Kizayis, Chazino, therefore we prove. Deshir Machsheves Achilas Mizbeach, as far as the violation of Pigul is concerned, Tluya Bekiyum Akhtara, Velo Bemais Akhtara. Correct, and the Kiyum Akhtara requires a minimum of a Kizayis. We're not going to say that this Pigul in the Mais Akhtara, which is even less than a Kizayis. V'alkein, if we're following that logic, let's go back to the Melamed, so to speak, the original. What's the original Achilas Adam? Is Af Achilas Adam to be Nei Alfin and Achilas Mizbeach? Is Lo Tolu Shir Kizayis Bekiyum Mais Achila? Then the Shir of Kizayis should be reflecting the Kiyum. But as far as we know, the Kiyum is even in Pachas Kizayis, and the Raya is from Pul. From Kippur Alavon in the case of Lechem Apon. Ulam, let me just read one more line. I'm sorry, I'm so preoccupied with this. It's like I gotta get to the punchline here. You know, that's my fix for today. Right?
Yeah.
Ulam, he says, Yesh Lachalik. The Af, maybe Af Al Gav, Af Dil Inyan Achila. Hakol toli the Maisa Achila. And what's the Maisa Achila minimum? Ein Achila pachos mi Kizayis. So Machsheves Chutzim Zmano. Well, Chutzim Koma on Pigul would have to be on a Kizayis Basar. Hayim Mishum Deshayach Ladun Al Maisa Achila Af I Lesbe Hashir Bishir Zekir Machila. I'm not sure what he's saying here. Let me just read it. I'm a Maisak Torah below the Miskaima. Shucks, I don't know the language here. It's very heavy for me. I'm a Maisak Torah. What is you have below?
Below
the Miskaima. Behochi Kiyumak Torah. Lo Choshev Maisak Torah Klal. Oh, I think I know what he's saying. Well, let me just try something. And if he's not saying it, maybe we'll say it. Mm-hmm. Say like this. In the case of Achilas Basar, there really should, you know, as far as his mitzvah is concerned, there really should be no havamina that he can fulfill that mitzvah by eating less than a kezayis. Narvas, what makes the achila less than a kezayis into a significant achila? It's the kiyum of the karban, right? And the kiyum of the karban should be nechal. Inyan achila hakol toli v'maisachi mishum de shayach logan al maisachi. No, he's saying just the opposite. Just one second. Af I lespe shir ze. Kiyum Achila. He's saying the following. Let's say Rabosai, the Kohen would eat a kezias, and the rest of the basar was not eaten. Would there be a kiyum? He's saying no. There would not be a kiyum. The condition in his mitzvah would be that ultimately the carbon is a nechal, and if it wasn't a nechal, with all due respect, he may have eaten a kezias. That's not called an achila. He says, after linyan achila, kol toli b'maisa achila, hayim ishum, d'shayach lodun al maisa achila, af I lest up. So why is it up? Now let's talk about less than a kezias. The Kohen ate less than a kezias. So I gave an example, we ate a kezias, but they didn't eat the rest of the basar. Let's say he ate less than a kezias, and the basar wasn't consumed. He says, in such a case, then his achila is meaningless. Hayim mishum d'shayach l'adun al ma'is achila. Right. So why do we call this an achila? After all, he ate less than a kezias. So he says the following: the only reason why it's considered an achila is because it could contribute to the kiyum achila. What's the kiyum achila? When the basar is completely nechal, right?
Yeah.
Mashenkin, he says, in the case of Maisak Torah, below the miskayma hachi kiyum Torah lo choshev Maisak Torah klal.
What?
Again, in the case of achila, since when he eats pachas mikazayis, it may end up that what? That the basar is nechal, is therefore you can talk about a ma'isa achila even if it doesn't have a shear, eats less than a kezias. So we could generate a kiyum achila. I'm just trying to see if I can make any sense out of what he's saying. So you could possibly generate a kiyum achila with less than a kezias. And why is that? Because even though he ate less than a kezias, we can upgrade that to the status of a ma'isa achila. So basically what he's trying to do, the Rashi, but he's trying to convince us that the reason why the shear of pachas of kezias is absolutely necessary is because of the kiyum karbon. It's the kiyum karbon that elevates and upgrades the status of pachas mikezias to that of kezias. So ultimately, we, even in the case of achilas basar, of achilas on, I'm going to have to come on to the kiyum. And if that be the case, then we go over to Haktara and we ask what's the key of Haktara, and that requires a kizai. So you'll take a look inside. You know,
the point is that the Achilles Mizbeach is always going to be the Kuyum. So if there's no dividing it up, there's no, you can't have a shear less than that. Because